in the house of the Lord today. This church has been praying for you. We're glad for recovery, and we know the best is yet to come in Jesus' name. I'm aware of the time, as probably many of you are, and usually we're really into it by now, so I'll try to give you back that time. If you listen fast, I'll speak fast. But I definitely want you to hear from the word of the Lord. And I'd love for someone here in just a little bit to join us at the altar and receive a miracle from the Lord today. You can enjoy everything you hear and see and feel, but to have God touch you right where you are is an awesome opportunity that's available for you today. Acts 20, verse number 28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. One translation says, his church purchased with his blood. His own blood. So I want to tell you today, the cost was in the cross. Let's ask the Lord to speak to us right now in the name of Jesus Christ. God, wherever we are as a church in these last days, this opportunity has been purchased for us by your blood that was shed. Wherever an individual in this building is right now that needs a miracle in their life or in their family, let faith rise in their hearts that they would acknowledge, my miracle has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. My healing has been purchased by the blood of Jesus. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, praise the name of the Lord. Praise God. God bless you. You may be seated. Thank you for being here today. There are so many things that are new and modern about this church, this building, even programs and the leadership of this people. But in many ways, we are still an old-fashioned church. I'm okay with that. In fact, I'm delighted about that. And perhaps one area where we come across as real old-fashioned is when I mention this week and next week we will emphasize giving. Because nowadays you're not supposed to talk about money in church, because people think that's all you want is their money. I'm not really afraid about what people think as long as we stay in the Word of God. That's kind of old-fashioned about us here. So we are thankful for those of you already responding to bringing your tithes and offering regularly, and now maybe joining others that have committed to a monthly building fund offering, and then next week an emphasis with missions. I want to thank you for giving and living for the church that Jesus died for. Because this passage of Scripture says that his church was purchased with his blood. And I know that as you scan this congregation, you may not know every story, but in order for us to partner with over 120 ministries literally around the world, it represents great sacrifice and commitment and faithfulness by your brothers and sisters that are worshiping with you today. You think about it. In the last 14 years, we have given over $1 million to global missions. We're just simple people, but we're godly people. And we recognize where our treasure is. That's where our heart is. I know that seems old-fashioned. It's old-fashioned to think about financing a church here in Winston-Salem and then a church in Taylorsville and a church in King. I mentioned just a few Sundays ago that we've helped to start another separate congregation here in Winston-Salem, Iglesia Pentecostal Unida, which is a Spanish-language church just about a mile and a half from here. We have another Spanish-language church that meets across the parking lot on Sunday afternoon. We've helped to establish the sanctuary in Mount Airy, and we've established a church in Elkin and Jonesville, and we are really seeing the work of God begin to develop in these places, but it represents sacrifice and commitment and faithfulness from the people that are here today. And so my question is, how can we compensate you for your efforts? And the only way I can think of is just to remind you, the cost was in the cross. That for every act of kindness and every act of commitment and every financial investment, there is a Savior, and His name is Jesus. And perhaps you've realized by now, He woke me up this morning. He started me on my way. He's blessed me with breath in my body. He's given me health in my life, a good home, a good job. And so you know what? I know I've given to Him, but He's given so much to me. So, Pastor, don't worry about it. I'll keep giving. Don't worry about it, Pastor. I'll bring my tithe. Don't worry about it, Pastor. I'll bring my building fund. I'll bring my missions. You know why? Because Jesus paid it all. He's blessed me. He's helped me. He's healed me. And so the cost was in the cross. And while you are giving, while you are serving, it is helpful every now and then to remember He purchased His church with His blood. I might write a check. You might make a commitment. Week after week, we might bring our giving. And then beyond that, we might bring our serving in ways that we can advance the church. But we need to recognize His sacrifice started His church. And so whatever we're doing, we are advancing His church and we are expanding His church across this state and around the world. But when we look at our sacrifice compared to His sacrifice, we are reminded He paid for His church with His blood. And so we are happy to invest and sacrifice and recognize that God has set us apart to do a work for Him, His cause in these last days. Surely I'm not the only one that believes Jesus is coming soon. And so we don't invest because the building is pretty. We invest because He shed His blood. We don't invest in missions because the missionaries are charismatic or they're outgoing or they're personable or they look good when they come and visit us. No, we invest in missions because He shed His blood. He died on the cross. And so I'm going to live for what Jesus died for. Praise the name of the Lord. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but should have everlasting life. And Jesus said in Mark 16, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. The commission that Jesus died for is the mission that you and I live for and give for. We don't just talk the talk at Heaven View. We walk the walk. We don't just say we love Jesus, but we put our money where our mouth is because we acknowledge I am linking up with Jesus Christ. And I am investing, and so I say the whole gospel to the whole world by the whole church is the anthem of Heaven View. Thank you for giving. Thank you for serving, because we are doing our best to invest in what He shed His blood for. And one translation of Galatians 6 says this, and I'd like for you to capture this passage for your own investment, your own sacrifice, your own faithfulness. Picking up at verse 7, don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from that sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. You apply this to your giving, to your sacrifice, and you know it's true. There is always going to be a temptation when it comes to my money to do things with my money that only please me. And he says, you know what? If you sow to yourself, you're going to reap death and decay. But if you look at your giving as an opportunity to sow into the work of God and the kingdom of God, God is not mocked. His justice and his ways are not mocked. But he's promised us that we will reap a harvest of everlasting life. And so he says, let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessings if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially those in the family of faith. Hey, since Jesus died for this, we're not going to go wrong if we live for this. Since Jesus died for his church, we're not going to go wrong if we give for his church. So if you've taken time to bring your tithes, or maybe fill out a building card commitment, or next week make a commitment to missions, you're going to be blessed by the hand of God in ways that are not just physical or even financial, but spiritual, because God is not mocked. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. And so in the context of that, we remember Jesus died for his church. Jesus shed his blood for his church. So I believe I will invest in his church. I believe I will give my best for his church. Ephesians 5 says it this way, verse 25, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it would be holy and without blemish. I believe that we live in a world that would like to diminish the value of the church. And the reason why they seek to diminish the value of the church is because they have lost sight of the value of the cross. If it wasn't for the cross, we would all be lost. But because of Calvary, we can all embrace the gospel and we can be on our way to heaven. And I want you to know, the world wants to silence the church. And so that makes me want to give and live for what Jesus died for. The Lord would love, or the world would love, for us to be in our little corner, just us four and no more. Maybe we get together once or twice a week, but we don't change our city and we don't change our world. I say we're not doing this for the world. We're doing this for Jesus, because he died for us. So let's build a church in Winston-Salem, and let's build churches from various language groups that can reach to people that maybe don't speak English as well as we do. And furthermore, let's don't just get stuck in Winston-Salem, but let's go to King, let's go to Taylorsville, and let's go everywhere where the Lord would open a door. You know why? Because he died for this church. I'm going to live for this church. He died for this church. I'm going to give. And when the preacher gets up next Sunday, some of you will have never recognized him, but he was here 14 years ago, and he introduced us to giving to missions on a whole nother level. How bizarre is that? Preacher, don't you know I've got my bills, and I got my family, and I got my problems? And here he comes 14 years ago and says, if you'll help us start churches around the world, if you'll help us invest in the work of God around the world, God will bless this church. I feel blessed today. I'm looking at a blessed people today. But we are not blessed because from that time till this, we have just focused on our needs, or we have just focused on our circumstances, or we've just used our money for what blesses our church. Oh no, we caught a hold of the vision of that man of God that stood in the pulpit 14 years ago, and we made a commitment. We will take what we have and we'll give to what matters to God, and God will bless us in regards to what matters to us. And we don't give to receive. But as we have given, families have been blessed, and this church family has been blessed. And so I urge you, don't take next Sunday off because we're talking about giving. Instead, come with your head held up high with expectation, because you realize if Jesus died for the church, if you will live for the church and give for the church, you will be blessed. Praise God. And I understand that until we get a revelation of Calvary, all of this just sounds like smoke and mirrors and another church that wants your money. But let me tell you something, the cross changes everything. And you see all kinds of people dressed in their Sunday best today, but you don't know the stories of those whose families and marriages were being destroyed, whose children were lost, and some addicted to drugs and all kinds of things that were destroying their lives, and all of us needing a Savior to keep us out of a devil's hell. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I want you to believe with me today, the supernatural power of the cross of Jesus Christ gives supernatural power to the church of Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus could say, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The reason why Jesus went to the cross is so that when you come to church, it won't just be tradition, it won't just be boring. It won't just become the same and leave the same. But when you come, because there is power in the cross, there is power in the church. Oh, would you clap your hands and lift your voice? Power! Power! Holy Ghost power. Praise God. And so many of us choose to give to his church. But we are not deceived. We are not misled. We may choose to give to his church, but we cannot pay for his power. We cannot give so much that we merit salvation. We cannot give so much that when we walk through the doors, we can just snap our fingers and God will serve us as though he's a waiter in a restaurant. We don't pay for salvation. The cost was in the cross. Because we are not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but we are redeemed with the precious blood of Jesus. Whether you sign a commitment to the building fund or not, you can repent of your sins today because the cost was in the cross. Whether you bring your tithes or not, you can still be baptized by immersion in the name of, even if we never see you again, we will baptize you in Jesus' name today, because you cannot pay for baptism with church membership. The cost was in the cross. God forbid there are churches or denominations that say you can pay for your sins, or you can pay for all of the mess you've done, all the mistakes you've made. That's not in the Bible. What you find in the Bible is Jesus went to the cross and he shed his blood. No matter what our sins are, no matter what our mistakes are, the cost was in the cross. We don't pay for healing today. In just a few minutes, our intercessors will come And if you're sick in your body, we believe what the Bible says, Jesus will heal you today. If you have another need, you need a miracle in your life, you join everybody else and you'll receive a miracle today, because you don't pay for a miracle. You don't pay for a healing. Look with me to the book of Isaiah. The scripture says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. We don't pay for healing today. The healing was covered by the cross. The cost was covered by the cross. And so whether you commit to the building fund or not, whether you give to missions or not, when it's time to be healed, you put your faith in Jesus Christ, and Calvary has purchased your miracle. We don't pay for deliverance today. The cost was in the cross. Jesus said it this way, Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. I know there's some broken hearts that have been healed at Heaven View, but you didn't have to pay for it. The cost was in the cross. I know there are some folks that were bound up by depression and anxiety, all kinds of addictions, but you remember the day when you came into this church that was purchased by his blood, and you made your way to the altar and you said, God, my life is a mess. Forgive me for my sins. I need you to change me. And right there, as you begin to cry out to God, you were surrounded by other people that were crying out to God. We weren't taking money from anybody. We were just saying, Jesus, because of Calvary, there's deliverance in this house today. I'm trying to tell somebody, look around, but don't you be deceived by how we look today. There are addicts in this house today. There are those that face sickness in this house today. There are those that's life have been covered by sin today. But we're here to proclaim the same power that is in the cross is in the church. The same power that is in the blood is in the church. The cost was in the cross. Every now and then, when pastor says, your marriage can be saved, you ought to shout, amen. Every now and then, if pastor says, if you're addicted to drugs, you can be delivered today, you ought to say, amen.
Amen.
Every time pastor might say, if you're depressed, or if you've got cancer, or if you've got some other disease, today is your day for a miracle, you ought to say amen. Why? And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. The same power that was in the cross is in the church. And so my sins are gone, my addictions are gone, my depression is gone, because there's power. Praise God. Praise God. And so this Sunday, next Sunday, we renew our commitment. We've already established bringing our tithes week after week. That first part, that tenth of everything God gives us, we just do that because that already belongs to him. But it's not enough just to say, well, I'm not robbing you in the tithes. I'm not going to rob you in the offerings either. And so I'm bringing my tithes. But today, I'm making a commitment. Every month, I'll bring an offering for the building. Every month, next week, I'll make a commitment. I'll make a faith promise pledge that as you bless me, I'll bless the work of God around the world. But we need to recognize, when you give, you're not paying for a blessing. He's already paid for those blessings. All you're doing is saying, God, you have blessed me. So as you have given to me, I want to share how you have blessed me with everybody in my city, across my state, and around the world. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians 8, verse number 9. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes, if you don't mind me saying for our sakes, he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. When a preacher talks about giving, your first reaction ought never to be, preacher, I'm too poor. It ought to be, I'm rich. Because of Calvary, because of the cross. And so when I give, I don't have to give as much as you. I don't have to give as much as her. I just look at what I have and I say, God, I'm rich because I'm on my way to heaven. I'm rich because you put my marriage back together. I'm rich because you've forgiven me of my sins. I'm rich because you bless me every day. And so I know I don't pay for these blessings, but I want to share these blessings. So thank God I go to a church where I can trust we're working to reach our city. We're working to reach our state. We're working to reach our world. Because that's what Jesus died for. And I want you to bow your heads for just a moment, especially those of you that are a part of this church family. And I want you to think of your talent. Think of your income. Think of every way that you can influence and bless his church that he shed his blood for. And I wonder if right where you're seated, right where you're meditating right now, you can make a commitment. Lord Jesus, the cost was in the cross. Whenever I serve, nobody owes me anything. Jesus paid it all. Whenever I give, nobody owes me anything. The cost was in the cross. Jesus paid it all. I might sacrifice for the building. I might sacrifice for missions, but I'm never going to act like somebody owes me, because I remember Calvary and I remember the cost was in the cross. Right where you're seated, would you pray that way right now? Lord Jesus, I give and I live for your church because I will never forget you shed your blood for your church. And so as I sacrifice and as I serve, I will never allow my attitude to become jaded or my commitment to become inconsistent because I feel like I've done so much and nobody's recognized or given me appreciation or no. Jesus, you paid for everything I might give. You paid for everything I might do. You covered it with the cross. Can you say in Jesus' name? In Acts 26, there is a testimony that is given. As I read this testimony, I felt like God would allow me to say, this is what he's doing at Heaven View in this season of our church's history. It's the Apostle Paul recounting how God called him and how I truly believe God is calling Heaven View. He's saying to us, rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in the which I will appear unto you. And I send you to the people. And here's what I want you to do when you go to the people. Look at verse 18. Open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, and that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. It's as though the Lord would say to Heaven View, I went to the cross so that I could pick you out of the crowd. I could forgive you of your sins, and I could stand you up out of your fear and out of your failures, and I could send you as a witness and a testimony everywhere you go, at work, at school, in this city, and around the world. Open the eyes of everybody you can. Turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God. And so I want to give to that. I want to live for that, because he didn't go to the cross just for me or for us. He went to the cross so that after he changed us, he could use us to change the world. Would you stand? And right where you're standing, would you raise your hands and just say, thank you for the cross. Thank you for the cross. Lord Jesus, I serve at Heaven View, but the real sacrifice is the cross. Jesus, I give my offerings, I bring my tithes, but the real sacrifice is the cross. And I want to thank you for Calvary, Lord. I want to thank you for Calvary, Lord. I want to thank you for your blood that was shed. You shed your blood for your church. And I want to give myself for your church in these last days. Can you say in Jesus' name? Now here's what we're going to do. If you've got your card filled out, you haven't turned it in, you can come and just place it on the altar. That would be awesome. We'd like to add your commitment to the commitment of everybody else. But what I'm really looking for right now is anybody that's sick, anybody that needs a miracle, anybody that needs to repent of their sins, anybody that needs salvation, anybody that needs to know the power of God is real. Intercessors, would you come first and just stand here in the altar facing the congregation as though you're ready to pray for anybody that needs a miracle. Thank you for coming, intercessors. And now, if you're sick, if you need a miracle, if you need the power of God in any way, would you come? Church, would you come? Guests, would you come? Come on, anybody that needs a touch from the Lord, would you come? And would you let us pray for you? And whatever you need, the cost was in the cross. If you're dealing with depression, it's already been paid for. If you're dealing with sickness, it's already been paid for. If you're dealing with fear, it's already been paid for. Come on, everybody pray. Everybody pray. Everybody reach out to the Lord right now.